And until then, gentle listener, until next week, I wish you well. May everything go your way.
I'm Justine Green with the BBC News. Syria's defence ministry says it's ended its military operation in the coastal provinces of Latakia and Tartus after hundreds of civilians were killed there by the new government's security forces. Despite that announcement, there were reports of fighting breaking out in some rural areas. Here's Mike Thompson.
The reported deaths of more than 1,000 people in former President Assad's heartlands of Latakia and Tartus provinces pose the biggest challenge yet to the viability of the country's new government. Interim President Ahmed al-Sharaa's pledge to bring those responsible to justice presents problems. The perpetrators came largely from within his own security forces, and taking action against them could cause a revolt in his fragile coalition. Failing to act decisively could encourage uprisings elsewhere in Syria and lessen the chances of international sanctions being lifted and reconstruction help arriving.
Chinese tariffs on more than $20 billion worth of US agricultural products have come into force. It's Beijing's latest response to extra US duties on its exports to America, which have been increased by 20% by President Trump. Analysts say the Chinese tariffs are designed to hit US states that support President Trump. Canada's incoming Prime Minister Mark Carney has promised to win the trade war against the US and has hit back against Donald Trump's threat to make Canada the 51st state. He was speaking after he won the race to lead the governing Liberal Party. From Ottawa, John Sudworth reports.
The Liberals, who just a few weeks ago seemed to be heading for certain defeat in this year's general election, are riding a new wave of optimism. President Donald Trump's trade war has dramatically changed the public mood, and Mark Carney's election as Liberal Party leader comes with the huge polling gap with the Conservatives already narrowing sharply. The outgoing leader, Justin Trudeau, will now formally resign as Prime Minister, after which Mr. Carney, who's not an MP and has never held national office, will be automatically appointed in his place as head of a caretaker government.
John Sudworth reporting there. President Zelensky has reiterated Ukraine's commitment to peace ahead of talks in Saudi Arabia. The Ukrainian leader said Kyiv had sought peace from the very start of the war. The Trump White House had previously accused him of not being serious about ending the conflict. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Russia wasn't sure.
It doesn't matter what we're expecting. It matters what the United States is expecting. We've repeatedly heard statements on various levels that the United States is expecting Ukrainians to demonstrate a desire to make peace. Well, that's probably what everyone is waiting for. Do they really want peace, the members of Zelensky's regime, or not? It is, of course, very important and needs to be determined.
You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bluestem Jazz, presenting Twin Talk at the North Street Cabaret on Friday, March 21st at 8 p.m. Chicago's Twin Talk, featuring saxophonist Dustin Lorenzi, bassist singer Katie Ernst, and drummer Andrew Green, create a style that is elastic, spontaneous, and open. More information and tickets are available at bluestemjazz.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Budget Bicycle Center's used bicycle showroom located at 930 Regent Street. Open for curbside service estimates and sales, 251-1663. More information on Budget Bicycles services for new and used bicycles is available on the web at budgetbicyclectr.com. BlueStemJazz.com.
Good morning, it's 8:05. You're tuned to the Monday 8 o'clock buzz on WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org. This is Brian Standing. I want to start off the program by thanking everyone who donated during our fundraising drive. The on-air portion of our drive is completed and we exceeded our goal. Thank you very much for your support for this program and others. We are still continuing an online-only drive through Sunday, March 16th. And there's a bunch of money left from a very generous matching challenge grant that we were given for to use for new and lapsed donors. All the thank you gifts are still there. So please, if you're listening and you haven't donated already, or if you have and you haven't done so in a while, feel free to donate at WORTFM.org. On the program this morning, a new bill in the Wisconsin legislature seeks to protect the state against future federal fund freezes. Representative Ryan Clancy explains why he authored the legislation. And we're starting a new series about how President Trump's policies might impact Wisconsin's dairy industry. Today, we talk with Ken Monteleone, owner of Madison's Fromagination Cheese Shop. And finally, Windstar Enterprises wants to edit your mind. We'll talk with founder Dr. Richard Stillwell, and there's some surprises in that as well. We'll all have all that, plus some announcements to the Outdoor Adventure Report and some tasty tunes served up by our engineer, John Wilson. All that's coming up right after this.
I see you last year, and it's been some time since I seen you last. You know the night, I bet you know the night. I'm here, you're here, and it's in the air like a firefly. June and July, light is June and July.
It's 8:13. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. In January, the Federal Office of Management and Budget ordered a complete freeze on already awarded federal grants. The decision threw all manner of programs into chaos, from critical health services, research programs, transportation infrastructure, and child care. After a series of lawsuits, the Trump administration officially relented, rescinding its previous action. However, 2 months later, many state and community organizations are still waiting for their funding, and all are reeling from the government's unexpected reneging on its signed contracts. Wisconsin Assembly 19th District Representative Ryan Clancy wants to make sure that never happens again and has introduced a new bill to create a stopgap against further federal cutoffs. Ryan Clancy joins us now from Milwaukee. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
So, as I understand it, your bill would look at using the state's rainy day fund as needed if this kind of federal funding freeze happens again. Explain to us what the rainy day fund is and how much of that will that cover?
That's correct. So it's technically called the BS Fund or the Budget Stabilization Fund.
That's an unfortunate acronym.
I know, right? Right, and it really is just a drop in the bucket. It's weird to say only $1.9 billion, and it's only small relative to the federal funds that are potentially frozen or in jeopardy. That's $28 billion. That's about a quarter of the state's budget overall. So it certainly wouldn't cover everything, but it would. In our opinion, hopefully undo as much of the harm as we can do. What we're focused on at this point is harm reduction, because the Trump administration really is gunning for a lot of these incredibly essential services here in Wisconsin.
Now, in a situation like we just experienced, where there's already funded grants that are pulled unexpectedly by the federal government, how would the decisions be made about how to allocate money out of that $1.9 billion to up to $28 billion? I mean, as you mentioned, it's a drop in the bucket, but how would you decide which gets funded and which doesn't, especially given the very short time frame that you would need to turn that money around?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It is not a perfect system, and we have to make some really tough choices, and that would essentially be in the hands of the legislature. We would have to work closely with our Republican colleagues to the bill itself would basically put a mechanism in to identify, you know, the sources of all those federal funds, kind of the nonprofits and the government entities that they're going to. But it would be on us to figure out which of those services are the most essential, the ones that are actually going to save and preserve lives during this crisis. And this is a man-made, very intentional crisis, and I think we have the duty to prevent the harm that we can at the state level.
So it sort of begs the question, is the Rainy Day Fund has about $1.7, $1.9 billion in it, but the state is sitting on a $4.7 billion surplus. What are there any opportunities to expand the money that might be available to supplement federal funding cuts?
I'm certainly all in favor of expanding that dollar amount by doing things like taxing the rich and having corporations pay their fair share of taxes, which they do not currently in Wisconsin. But overall, yeah, I mean, the governor's budget, which has a lot of also very essential services in it, that spends down some of that surplus. So we really wanted to focus on the rainy day fund, which is not currently earmarked and is not on track to be spent. And this is exactly what that's for, right? I mean, the rainy day fund, some places refer to that as a contingency fund. It's for emergencies, and this is an emergency. It's kind of an appropriate use of those funds.
And it's intended to be sort of one-time funding that is then replenished in future. So what would that mean for, say, a Head Start or a Medicaid program if it received one-time funding from the state? What happens to it in the year once that money's gone?
Yeah, really good question. So we are hoping that this federal funds freeze is temporary. Certainly, it is not sustainable to hold up those funds long term. And what we're seeing is that, you know, in calls and emails and you know, open forums across the state, especially even in rural areas, we have people that are visibly upset with Republicans and with the Trump administration. And their cohorts, and you know, in state and local government, who are propping them up. So it's my hope and my assumption that this will not last, and that those federal funds will continue to roll back into the states where they're needed the most, and including Wisconsin, simply because it's not sustainable. And I think as more and more programs are cut, as people feel that pain, they're not going to stand for it. But you're right, this is not sustainable funding. The rainy day fund is you know, for one-time use during an emergency like this one. If the Trump administration continues to choke off funds where they're needed the most, we're going to feel the pain. And this is our way of trying to delay that and trying to hold it back as long as we can.
And obviously, there's still the permanent funding for the federal government, and the Congress is just is working through a bill that would cut trillions of dollars in federal assistance. Is your assumption that if that comes to pass, that the entities will have a little more time to plan, because we'll have to go through the congressional and then state budget processes to help try and make those decisions?
Certainly, and there are checks and balances in place. And I do want to be really clear. What the Trump administration, what Trump has done, is not legal. He does not have the power of the purse. There has been real damage done with that initial memo, with the initial freeze. And we are unfortunately anticipating that will keep happening. The temporary stopgap measures that we're seeing at the federal level, they are keeping money in all the wrong places on the military, things like that, and they are making some really drastic cuts to the essential services that people here in Wisconsin rely on every day. So I would not look at that as you know, kind of the best solution going forward. But certainly, any sort of federal funding would give us more time and would reduce the amount of hurt that we're going to go through.
And tell us about your co-sponsors on this bill, and have you had any success getting any Republicans to sign on?
Yeah, and I want to lift up, I am not the lead author. I worked really closely with Representatives Felt and Cruz. They are two of the new crop of Democrats. They're both first-term members of the Assembly, and I am so excited for these first-term folks, who actually outnumber those of us who are returning to the Assembly. There are more of them than us. There's 23 new folks and 22 returning Democratic members. And yeah, I mean, the ball is in the court of our Republican colleagues. And I think that's it's a great question to ask them. Many of them are trying to distance themselves from the Trump administration. And this would be a really good way to do that. This would be a way that our Republican colleagues, both in the state Senate and the Assembly, could stand with the people of Wisconsin and say, look, you know, we're not standing by the Trump administration. We're not going to rubber stamp their efforts. We're going to do our best to protect Wisconsin residents from the worst of the cuts.
Is there a companion bill in the Senate yet?
Senator Larson, also from here in Milwaukee, is the lead on the Senate version of this. And we have high hopes. And I do hope that our Republican colleagues rise to the challenge here. We'd love to work with them. I anticipate that we would have some robust debate over, you know, which services the most essential, kind of where to put those dollars. But we need them. We need to free those up so we can help folks out.
All right. We've been speaking with Ryan Clancy, Wisconsin Assembly Representative for the 19th District, which includes Milwaukee. Thank you for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thank you so much, Brent.
And we'll be back with the Outdoor Adventure Report and the Song of the Week and some station announcements coming up right after this.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. Had second hands. Moms bounced on old men. So then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on fire skates. No question I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys on board. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas. Rolling in MPVs every week. We made 40 G's.
It's 8:23. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. It's time once again for the Outdoor Adventure Report with Master Naturalist Paul Noldner. Hey there, Paul. What's happening in the great outdoors?
What's happening is things are warming up. Thank you, Brian and WORT, for covering all things natural. Your Outdoor Adventure Report, everybody, is here for the week of Monday, March 10 to Sunday, March 16, brought to you by Friends of Urban Nature, partnership of parks, environmental, and friends groups, helping connect Madison and kids with nature all year round on free outings hosted by local groups. Come on outdoors and join the fun. Our bird of the week is the red-winged blackbird, a robin-sized all-black bird with bright red patches on their wings. Like robins, red-winged blackbirds return in large numbers about this time of year and claim cattail marsh territories all over town with cheery Kukuri calls that say, spring is here. Coming up this week, we have some great learning and outdoor adventures in store. Join Clean Lakes Science Cafe to learn about aquatics invasives Tuesday, March 11 at the Eastside Club, Monona Drive. Dr. Tyler Butts will share research and what it all means for our lakes in a changing world. It's free for donors to Clean Lakes. I appreciate a $5 donation. Join Wild Ones to learn about foxes, coyotes, and urban canids Tuesday, March 11, 5:30 at Lakeview Library. Dr. David Drake with UW Forest and Wildlife Ecology. We'll talk about the impact we as humans have on foxes and coyotes as we seek to live together in an increasingly urban environment. Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance invites you to an amazing evening with famous author Christian Cooper, the Emmy-winning host of Extraordinary Birder, and bestseller book, Better Living Through Birding, at the Overture Center, Wednesday, March 12, 7 p.m. Tickets are $35 and can be purchased in advance at overture.org or at the door. You'll hear about his new book about urban owls. The Thursday, March 13, 12 noon, free senior bird nature adventure at Warner Park Community Rec Center will feature trees in spring with tree expert Sean Gear. And a short walk outdoors if weather is nice, seniors can bring a family member or friend. Come to Holy Wisdom Monastery on Thursday, March 13 at 6:30 to learn about Backyard National Park Movement formed by ecologist Doug Tallamy. Speaker Mark Wooshoker will explain how you can help create habitats in your yard that sustain wildlife, sequester carbon, and protect water one yard at a time. Simply by planting native flowers, trees, bushes, and grasses. Register at holywisdommonastery.org. So Saturday, March 15, 10 a.m., free bird nature adventure at Starkweather Creek will feature foraging and meditation. Meet amazing naturalist Sean Gear at the Carpenter Ridgeway Park to learn about natural food sources and the wonderful energy of meditating in nature.
the Sunday, March 16th, 133 Bird Nature Adventure at Warner Park will feature Signs of Spring. Meet naturalist educator Linda Malkin at the Rainbow Shelter for a free family-friendly walk to celebrate the equinox and explore the web of life. You can naturalize your yard this spring. Friends of Arboretum online native plant sale offers a variety of trees, shrubs, and flats of native plants. Order online at foamadison.org by March 13th for pickup in May. And you can learn more about native gardening at a Learning Hub community gathering with Wild Ones in Dane County at the Lucier Family Heritage Center. See danecounty.org for more info. More adventures coming up include First Birds of Spring, a spring equinox walk, and early migrants. You can find the details at cityofmadison.com/parks, tinyurl.com, Madison Fun Adventures, and on social media with your local environmental community and friends groups. Be kind to each other and your natural world. Join the fun outdoors every week year-round. It's naturally fun.
Thank you, Paul. And that brings us to the song of the week. John Wilson, what sounds good to you today?
Well, nothing gets me going on a Monday morning extra early like a solo acoustic album about a recent divorce. And that being the case, we have a new one from country singer-songwriter Jason Isbell. It's the title track from his new album, Foxes in the Snow.
I love my love. I love her mouth. I love the way she turns the lights off in her house. And I love my love and her velvet bed, where she's heard me sing the words that can't be said. And all the dreams that die unseen, all the dive and hide remain it took to put my soul to sleep. Now it's easy. I love my love and golden hair. I like to picture her alone when I'm not there. And I like her friend, the ones I know. They leave drops of blood like foxes in the snow. And all the beasts beneath her bed she defeats and leaves for dead, and falls asleep inside my head. Seems so easy.
Along with our listener sponsors, WRT would like to thank our local business supporters for helping us bring you great shows like this one. We never could have made it to our 50th year without our program underwriters. When you visit these businesses, please take a moment to thank them for their support of WORT. Your acknowledgement of their support really matters. A complete list of our underwriters is on our website at WORTFM.org. Does your business wish to join the party and become a WORT underwriter? Let our listeners know you support independent media. For more information about WORT underwriting, event sponsorships, or to obtain a logo tile on our popular WORT-FM app, contact Doug Holtz at 608-321-9597 or visit the staff page on our website at WORTFM.org.
YWCA Madison invites you to join them to celebrate the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. YWCA Madison is eager to gather with their community of supporters to share stories that speak to who they are and demonstrate their values of humanity, community, growth, and restoration, which are at the heart of how they move as an organization. Attending the Circle Fundraiser impacts the lives of thousands of women, children, and families who are served each year through YWCA's transformational programs in housing and shelter, employment and transportation, restorative justice, and learning and movement building. More information about the Circle Fundraiser and other YWCA programs and resources can be found at ywcamadison.org. That's the 22nd annual Circle Fundraiser on Thursday, March 20th at the Alliant Energy Center. Keeping you informed of community events and resources, this is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
Yeah, it's 8:31. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. Since 2007, Madison's Fromagination Cheese Shop has highlighted Wisconsin's artisanal cheese industry, shipping Badger State specialties such as bandaged cheddar and sheep's milk blue cheese around the world. The Wisconsin cheese industry, of course, is an economic powerhouse with 1,200 licensed cheesemakers producing 3.4 billion pounds of cheese a year. 48% of the U.S.'s specialty cheeses come from Wisconsin. On March 5th, Fromagination owner Ken Monteleone wrote an open letter to Donald Trump calling on the president to change his policies regarding Center for Disease Control staffing, immigration, and to reverse the rescinding of U.S. Department of Agriculture grants that support the dairy industry. Ken Monteleone joins us now in the studio. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thank you, Brian, for having us on this morning.
So, Ken, one of the things that you wrote about was some of the dairy business innovation grants and some of the other grants that were actually signed by Donald Trump in his first term back in 2018. And these are some of the grants that were frozen. We've learned that on Friday, the USDA rescinded that action. Are you taking even partial credit for getting those grants restored?
You know, everyone's voice needs to be heard, so we're just happy that funds were released. And, you know, it's tears and fears right now. The uncertainty and the chaos that exists is paralyzing.
Tell us about these dairy business innovation grants. What do they do?
Very important to our dairy industry. As you know, Wisconsin produces over $43 billion in dairy every year. So it's a big force in our economy. And our cheesemakers and dairy farmers rely on grants to improve their infrastructure. So a lot of the money's in motion once they hear they are receiving the grant. So we started to get calls and from our cheesemakers being fearful of losing these grants.
And these are reimbursement grants. So these are things where people have already spent the money, built the infrastructure, and now they're waiting to get reimbursed from the feds.
Tremendous impact.
So if the feds reneged on that deal, it would mean those manufacturers would be out all of that money.
And in some cases, these are small producers in some cases. It can paralyze and bankrupt their business.
Okay, so you can declare victory on that front so far, right?
Anyway.
But you also talked about some of the staffing for the Federal Centers for Disease Control, and what exactly is the concern there with relation to cheese?
Well, the avian flu. You know, there's so much talk about how it could spread, and now more than ever, we need the Center for Disease Control to be on top of all these issues, and it could definitely impact our dairy farmers throughout the state. You know, some of our cheese producers, like Uplands, their cows graze on the pastures freely, so really monitoring what's happening with the avian flu is so important right now.
And to be clear, avian flu, even though it's called avian flu, has now been detected in dairy cattle, yes?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And what kinds of threats does that pose to some of the people who are in the cheese industry?
Just milk production. You know, just talking to some of our cheesemakers, they have their sharp eye on how it could possibly impact it, and we rely on the CDC to monitor this.
How many producers does Fromagination work with in Wisconsin?
We work with mostly all the small cheese producers in the state, and then obviously we work with some of the larger ones like Sartori would be an example of that. But before we go outside the state, we make sure that we have wonderful relationships with our local producers.
And obviously some of these farms are in rural areas of Wisconsin, so many of these areas voted for Trump in 2024. Is that correct?
Correct. You know, the one thing I like about the cheese industry, I've been in business, like you said, for 17 years. This goes beyond party lines. You know, when I'm working with our producers, it's about what we can do to better the lives of everyone here in Wisconsin. And I just wish from a federal government, we would work that way because it does affect the livelihood. And I think there's a lot of wake-up calls right now with what's going on in the Trump administration. I think it is... They didn't sign up for this, a lot of the people that voted for him.
Now, the third part of your letter to the president is talking about the second part is you talk about some of the immigration concerns and how much of the dairy industry in Wisconsin is still dependent on migrant labor.
You know, over the course of 17 years, I visited a lot of cheesemakers and dairy farmers, and we rely on immigrants to milk the cows and to do a lot of the hard labor. And these are great people that just want a better life for themselves and their families. So it would devastate our dairy industry.
What is it about dairy labor that is attractive to immigrant labor and migrant labor and is less attractive to Wisconsin residents?
It's hard work. I mean, these people are up at all hours of the morning milking cows, cleaning the barns. It's a lot of work that a lot of Americans particularly don't want to do.
There have been some folks who've criticized sort of the sort of structure of operation by saying, well, you know, we're keeping wages low, we're keeping benefits low, which is part of why it's so reliant on immigrants who may have less resources or ability to speak up for the rights. Do you feel that there's much exploitation going on in this industry?
Well, when I visit the farms, they're part of their families. I mean, these are very small producers. One example would be Carr Valley or Crave Brothers. When we went to visit them, they're part of their family. These immigrants are part of their family. So they're having dinner with them. They're sharing conversations and meals and working hard for a better life.
Do you think that there's enough money in the industry to sort of raise the wages up to a level that would attract more U.S. residents to do that kind of work?
It's hard to say.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you did not mention in your letter to the president is the potential impact of tariffs on... Now, you're in a business that relies primarily on export. You're exporting Wisconsin products, as we mentioned in the introduction, to around the world. So it would seem that what might have an impact on your business might be any retaliatory tariffs that might be implemented from some of the places that you ship to.
Yeah, the other thing that we don't want to forget is a lot of our supplies, a lot of tractors, a lot of things they use on their farms come from other parts of the world. So that definitely is going to impact the cost of what we can bring into the United States. And dairy is becoming a big thing around the world. In fact, one of the highlights from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is all the excitement around what they're exporting to other parts of the world.
And what kinds of things are getting exported from?
Cheese. I mean, a lot of people have spent some time in Asia because the appetite for Wisconsin cheese is growing. So not only tariffs coming in, also tariffs coming out will impact us.
And for your shop in particular, where do you ship to?
We just ship around the United States. You know,
okay.
We don't have the ability to ship to Canada or Europe, so we focus on shipping all around the U.S.
So any impacts to your business might be sort of secondary.
Well, you know, because we're so reliant on the local producers, you know, we do bring in a few cheeses from other parts of the world, especially during the holidays. So we expect prices of like Parmigiano Reggiano and Roquefort, some of those staples from Europe, the prices would go up.
Now, turning again to your producers, you know, what percentage of the cheese industry is devoted to export? Do you know?
I don't know off the top.
Okay.
Wouldn't want to
say. Some of your producers are selling for international export as well.
An example would be the most awarded cheese in Wisconsin would happens to be Upland's Pleasant Ridge Reserve. That's a three-time award-winning cheese that is available in Europe.
So, what's the mood among some of the folks that you work with in the cheese industry? What are people thinking about how things are going right now?
Well, the reason we wrote the letter is because there's so much uncertainty and so much chaos. One day, it's hard to keep up. So we want to be a voice in that continuum because there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of uncertainty that we all need to work together to make sure that our voices are heard.
And you wrote this as an open letter, so you shared it, and there was a press release, which is sort of how we found out about it, right? What kind of reaction have you gotten so far?
People have reached out to us thanking us to highlighting this and to making sure that we continue to do this. I mean, I think the next 4 years, it's going to be constant.
And have you heard anything from the Trump administration itself?
No, other than what we read on Friday, that they did release over $23 million of funds.
Okay. And how about any of the congressional representatives? Have you roached this issue to any of them?
A couple have reached back to us thanking us for highlighting this.
Okay. And so as you look forward in this industry and cheese, and you know, what do you see the prospects of particularly the artisanal cheese industry, which is what you specialize in Wisconsin, and are you concerned about future budget cuts that would permanently affect some of these programs?
Oh, most definitely, yes. We don't know what's going to happen the next 4 years. We're kind of, Wisconsin is in a growth stage right now, so we're continuing to put resources behind the infrastructures, and that's why these grants are so important. But if it's cuts, it's going to definitely change everything.
And tell us a little bit about how the cheese industry has changed in the 17 years since you've been working in it.
Yeah, it's been an exciting journey for me. I came from the shoe industry, so I actually was working with factories in China, and I saw the results of what that means to workers and the labor force, to an industry that's all about hands-on passion and commitment to producing great product and showing Wisconsin pride. So it's changed a significant amount for me personally, and it's all about the relationships in this industry. So regardless of partisan lines, the people in this industry are phenomenal and are working hard to continue the 185-year tradition.
And how did you get interested in cheese, especially coming from a manufacturing background?
Well, I came from my family was a small business owner, so I really loved what that did, or what I saw growing up, being around farmers and local other businesses. And I went off to the corporate world. I ended up in Madison because I worked for Famous Footwear. And I decided that the corporate world no longer was a fit for me. So owning a small business on the Capitol Square has been more fulfilling than anything else in my life.
And who are your customers? Where do they come from?
A lot of locals, especially when the farmers market opens up. So we have a lot of advocates here in Madison. And then, you know, cheese is something that it's a souvenir. So we get people because of our location from all over the world.
All right. We've been speaking with Ken Monteleone, owner of Imagination Cheese Shop. Thank you so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thank you so much, Brian.
We'll be back with Windstar Enterprises' proposals to edit your mind coming up right after this. Promotional literature, Windstar Enterprises promises that individuals can achieve, quote, their full potential, and claims to use psychology, psychoacoustics, presumably not the WRT music program of the same name, engineering, seminars, and musical compositions to make sure that, quote, you too will never be the same again. They also claim that you can learn to control your memories through thought. Windstar is bringing their allegedly life-changing seminar to the Madison area. In advance of their Madison appearance, Windstar's founder and CEO, Dr. Richard Stillwell, joins us now by phone. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Hello. It is so wonderful to be here.
So tell us about this technique that claims to alter memories through the use of sound. How did you discover this?
Well, it sort of depends on who you ask here, Brian. The way I The story I like to tell is that, you know, a friend of mine was sitting in his basement, feeling very, very bad about his lot in life one day, and he called me up and said, you know, I'm feeling very bad about my lot in life these days. And I said, well, let's talk about that. Let's see what's going on. Let's see if we can help. And after a bit of conversation, it became clear that the reason he was mostly upset about his life was due to one single incident, a moment in his childhood where his father had said some rather awful things to him. And over the course of this conversation, it became clear that not only did this moment happen, but that it had been captured on film, on his parents' VHS camcorder. And I, in that moment, had the thought, what if we could take that old family footage, begin editing it, manipulating it, and bombarding it back into the eye holes of my friend in such a way that he would begin to remember it differently, see the images differently, experience the past differently. We did this, we bombarded his eye holes for a better part of a week, and on the other end, he saw it completely differently. Now, of course, the challenge here is that not everyone has a VHS camcorder footage of this terrible moment in their life, so we had to find a way to abstract it out. And what we discovered through years and years of research is that sound is actually a more direct vector to the memory, and that we can begin to manipulate, massage, assuage memories simply through sound.
So you're talking about editing memories.
Memory editing, yes. Selective memory reprogramming, as we like to call it here at WinStar Enterprises.
So is this an FDA-approved process?
We are in conversations with the FDA looking for their stamp of approval. But as you can see, today the FDA is in shambles. They're not all that interested in helping individual citizens like you and I. They're more interested in the corporate bigwigs and the pharmaceutical industry. So, while we would, of course, love the FDA stamp of approval, it is not going to hold us back, Brian.
Is this procedure safe?
Absolutely. Painless.
Painless but safe.
Absolutely painless.
Are there any side effects of editing people's memories in this manner?
Well, not for me.
Not for you. Oh, you've undergone this procedure yourself.
Well, I've undergone it myself a number of times, yes, and when I help others edit their memories, it certainly doesn't affect me at all. Now, you can talk to any of the thousands of individuals who have undergone this reprogramming process, and they will tell you that it has been a boon to their success. They have fulfilled their potential in ways they never could before, all thanks to, you know, reprogramming the past to unlock their future.
Simply by listening to different sounds of their memories. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, they're not listening to specific sounds of their memories. They're listening to sounds that help conjure up memories and experiences that they are then guided through the reprogramming process. It's a bit too technical to get into in this short interview, but I'll say if you come to a seminar, you will begin to understand far better the techniques we have at our disposal and this life-changing technology that we would so, so love to impart onto you.
So how do you measure your results?
Through the thousands of happy customers, of course.
What kinds of things do your customers do prior, and how have their lives changed as a result of this process?
Well, we've had, just to name a few, there was a man named Robert, what was his last name? I shouldn't use his last name for confidentiality's sake, but a gentleman by the name of Robert. He was divorced 2 times. He was out of a job. He was living in a motel, one of those rent-by-the-week motels. He came to our seminar, and Robert is now not just a single millionaire, but a multi-millionaire. Those are the sorts of life-changing opportunities we create for people. Those are the shackles we unbind. Those are the changes we want to make in lives of people like you, Brian.
All right, got a sample of some of the music and sounds that you use to play this. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear here?
Right, so what I believe what you're about to hear is some of the solution's introductory material. This is sort of the first step in the memory reprogramming process. And yes, we recommend listening to it on headphones in a dark room where you will be uninterrupted. But here, broadcast over the radio, we do recommend that people pull over and stop driving, as it has had rather hypnotic effects on people in the past.
So, all right.
The Solution Seminar introductory material.
Here we go.
WinStar
Enterprises, LLC.
This tape will serve as a general introduction to the Solutions Seminar Training you will be attending soon. This is newly produced and uses music and sound effects. Now, to begin, I would like you to think of your mind as a computer. A computer running on the simplest logic. If it caused pain in the past, then it must be avoided. In other words, past inputs control this computer. They direct future choices, and thus, what is possible today.
All right, well, by now I'm sure Monday Buzz listeners are wondering why WORT devoted nearly 5 minutes to what sounds like an infomercial for a sketchy, somewhat unsettling self-help company. Well, Windstar Enterprises is actually the brainchild of multimedia and performance artist Simon Adler, who in his day job works as a producer for NPR's Radiolab. Simon Adler joins us now, not in character, to explain what the hell is actually going on.
It's a great question, isn't it? It's so good to be here, Brian.
So what the hell is actually going on, Simon?
I guess it depends on who you ask. I don't have a clean answer, but it's sort of one of several things. One is either this is some performance art project that some friends and I have created called Windstar Enterprises. We are a fake self-help company purporting to reprogram your memories. Or it is the most elaborately packaged and presented independent music release. Perhaps, I don't know, in the last several years for sure. So we're building a little world, sort of alternate reality around this music that we like to make.
Now, the website, windstarsolutions.com, I found very nostalgic because it looks like a 1980s version, 80s, 90s version of a Macintosh.
Absolutely.
It's very cryptic. It's really hard to sort of navigate. There's some like videos in there that you can dig through. How did you come up with this whole concept?
It all started with the music. My day job, as you said, is working as a producer for Radiolab, where I'm taking just hours and hours of interview tape and music and archival material and collaging it all together into these audio documentaries. I wondered, what if I use these same tools, these same skills to try to tell a story, but totally unencumbered from the responsibilities of journalism and the ethics of journalism? And out of that, I began taking hours and hours of self-help tapes, digitizing them, transcribing them, and building a library of about like 4,000 words that these various guru figures had said. And from there, word by word, syllable by syllable, I could begin to rewrite, refocus, rearrange what they were saying to have them generate totally brand new sentences. And so out of that, this whole sort of larger idea of what if you could do that with your own memories, if you could reorder, refocus, recontextualize, began to form. And yeah, this sort of silly idea of creating a fake self-help company was born out of that.
Now, this idea of editing your own memories, you know, you mentioned Sigmund Freud, but we're also seeing some research that suggests that, you know, the more we repeat a story to ourselves, the more we believe it to be true, it tends to deviate from the actual truth the more we repeat it. So that memories that we review again and again and again, we tend to embellish, whereas the ones that are tucked away and we don't look at for a long time are truer to that. Is that part of what you're trying to get at here with this idea of editing memories by listening to sounds or watching badly edited VHS tapes?
Absolutely, yeah. I think like all good self-help or all good snake oil, there's like a hint of truth in it. And yeah, the neuroscience on this is pretty clear that you can never have the same memory twice. What you're doing is you're reconstructing the memory every time you'd retrieve it, every time you imagine it in your mind's eye. And so the thought here is like, what if you were somehow able to programmatically do that or experimentally begin to manipulate that process? And particularly, again, as I said, this is the record itself is made out of just thousands and thousands of media fragments. I am more and more of the belief that with just the mountain of media that we are being smacked with every day, information that we are curating and that is being algorithmically curated for us, like our sense of reality is in large part being dictated by media fragments. So this is sort of an attempt to artistically wrestle with that and hopefully make some sort of observations or statements or give people an experience that forces them to reckon with the fact that they are moment by moment, day by day, curating information that's sort of helping inform the way they see the world.
So you've done this performance in other places, I imagine, so far. What kind of audiences do you get? You get people there who genuinely think that they're going to a self-help seminar, and what kind of reaction do they have to it?
Right. We're yet to have anyone come to the seminar believing it's a legitimate thing, but we've done a performance of it as an installation at a conference, and we have had people come into the installation and walk out of it believing we were a real company teaching you how to reprogram your mind. And the moment of revelation when we talk to them and it becomes clear that this is all a bit is just wonderful. And it, so far, everybody has been charmed by it.
I was going to say, I can imagine some people getting a little angry. Have you run into that at all?
No, and maybe that's just because of the disposition of the folks who are coming to a place like that would host a weird fake self-help company. That feeling of, oh my gosh, I've been duped, or oh my gosh, this thing I believed for a moment was real isn't. That is the feeling I want people to be confronting and be coming more and more hopefully accustomed to, because that is the feeling that we are going to be presented with over and over again as media manipulation and sort of generative media becomes less and less decipherable from the real.
We've been speaking with Simon Adler, multimedia and performance artist. You can catch the Windstar Solutions Seminar, or performance if you prefer, at the Hyatt Place, 333 West Washington Avenue on Saturday, March 15th, starting at 7 p.m. For tickets and much more information than you were probably expecting, go to windstarsolutions.com. Simon Adler, thank you for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
Oh, it's been so good to be here. Thanks, Brian.
And that wraps up our program for today. This is, I'd like to thank our guests, Wisconsin Assembly 19th District Representative Ryan Clancy, Ken Monteleone, owner of Fromagination, and radio producer and multimedia artist Simon Adler. Thanks to our producer, Nicholas Wooten, who lined up the great guests you heard here today and kept everything running smoothly down at the station. Thanks to our engineer, John Wilson, who piloted the mighty WORT soundboard and spun all the great tunes. Thanks also to our receptionist, Lori Rainey. This is WORT 89.9 FM Madison. If you missed some of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to hear extended versions of many of our interviews, check out our archives and podcasts at WORTFM.org. My name is Brian Standing. Global Revolutions is coming your way right after the Insurgent Radio Kiosk.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Monday, March 10th.
What a hoot to see so many once cocky big boss men of corporate America completely surrender their policies, principles, and personal pride to grovel at the feet of Trump. Even egomaniacal tech billionaires like Musk, Bezos, and Zuckerberg are publicly debasing themselves with a cringy eagerness to kiss up to the Donald. Indeed, CEOs in practically every industry, from oil to food, have suddenly converted to MAGA nuttiness. And to prove their devotion, each is loudly pledging to sacrifice all of their corporate programs that advance such core American values as equal rights, workplace fairness, and environmental protection. Parroting Trump's decree that DEI egalitarianism is immoral, the barons piously insist that their reversal is a matter of ethics. Hogwash. Their morality starts and ends with money, and as the Bible points out, the love of money is the root of all evil. Consider the case of Paramount, the multi-billion-dollar media giant. Although much of its wealth now comes from diversity programming on its MTV and BET networks, the top brass is bowing to Trump speak, obediently killing Paramount's diversity policies and even scrubbing the word inclusion from its corporate vocabulary. Why? M-O-N-E-Y. Paramount is presently pushing a multi-billion dollar merger with another entertainment giant to extend its control over our media market,